So I want to begin by first talking about the coronavirus. I think last week it kind of threw it on people's radar because we're watching the effect that it's having on the financial markets. And all that led me, you know, I've been resisting putting the Grace Force, the United States Grace Force, onto any spiritual warfare campaigns because I wanted us all to focus on the consecration to Saint Joseph. Truly believe we're adding that third heart this year, okay? The Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, now the chaste heart of Saint Joseph. And so wanted people just to delve into that. But nevertheless felt compelled because there's just a lot of misgivings or people are just worried. And so let's pray. And so I've decided that we can combine this with St. Joseph consecration. So we're in one right now, a 33-day preparation that ends on March 19th, okay? But Father Calloway is also encouraging us, if we want to reconsecrate or begin for the first time, you can start, I believe it's on March 30th until May 1st, St. Joseph the Worker. So I counted 54 days back from St. Joseph the Worker, and it's March 9th. I hope you followed all that, okay? So that begins what I am calling the 54-day Three Hearts Novena for protection and provision, okay? So I think it is important that we're adding this third heart. By adding, I just mean, I think for many years now we've been focusing on the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, and maybe not so much on the Chaste Heart of Joseph. So I think this year is important. But think about it: the father of the family, the dad, is called to be the protector and the provider of the home, right? So here we are; we're feeling unprotected a little bit, with wondering what this virus is going to do. And here's where I'm at with it right now, and this is just based on watching the, listening to the experts, what they're saying so far, is that it's like the flu, okay? And 98%, I think it is, you know, just get some mild symptoms, much less mild than the flu itself. People who have physical conditions are more susceptible to more severe attacks of this, But by and large, it's the flu, and but I think what it's doing is it's causing alarm enough that people are rethinking traveling, they're rethinking going to the store, going to the restaurants and things like that, and I think the financial markets are looking at that. So let's pray. Let's pray for protection, okay? But also provision, right? What gains we've made in pulling people out of poverty with this beautiful economy that we have right now, you know, so we don't want to lose that, okay? And helping people to feel more financially secure, so they don't have to worry about that as much. You know, we're told that there's more jobs available than there are people in the country right now. But you know, that's all in the debate. But anyways, so we're going to be praying the 54-day Rosary Novena, Immaculate Heart. We're going to add to it the Sacred Heart Novena prayer at the end, Sacred Heart, and we're also going to be adding the Memorare of St. Joseph, Chaste Heart. And then at the end, we're all going to pray the three consecration prayers, to the Sacred Heart, to the Immaculate Heart, and to the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph. So awesome. And so if you haven't joined with this, you can go to usgraceforce.com. You see a button off to the right if you're using your main computer. I'm not sure what it does on your phone, but it says enlist in the Grace Force. You hit that, and it just asks for your name and your email, and then you get the prayers in your inbox, the reminder for the prayers every day during these spiritual warfare campaigns. We've got close to 60,000 people so far in the United States Grace Force, and we've seen a multitude of miracles, okay? God is great. It's amazing. I also want to share a heartwarming story with you. I just made arrangements with the sisters that taught me in grade school. I've been going sporadically to their house. Sister Jacqueline, who was the principal at St. Maria Goretti when we were growing up, is homebound now. And so I've been going to them to offer Mass. But we just made arrangements that for the foreseeable future, I'll be going after I'm done with all my parish duties here. I'll be going to them for Sunday Mass every weekend. And I literally tear up just thinking about that. You know, imagine there I was in fifth grade, you know, and Sister Jacqueline and all these sisters around me. Who would have thought that at 61 years old that I'd have the great pleasure and fortune, good fortune, to be able to come and now be kind of their personal priest? God is just unbelievably amazing. So, here we are. It's the first Sunday of Lent, right? We begin our journey. And what do we see at the beginning of our journey? Well, we see the original sin. Okay? There they were. And you've heard me talk about, I love using that image of the Garden of Eden because don't we want that? We want to just rest in the arms of God in paradise. You know, not worry and be at peace, you know, all that good stuff. And they had that. And they had everything for them. And God just says, but just don't eat from that one tree over there. And so here comes the devil, right? The devil says, wait, what? First of all, he tries to change the narrative, right? He twists it. He says, what? Did he tell you you can't eat anything, basically? And Eve corrects him. No, we can have that, but just not that tree over there. And he's like, oh, surely you won't die. No, in fact, you know, if you eat from that tree, you're going to become gods yourself. Because you're going to be able to have the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what he's talking about there is our own personal knowledge of good and evil, right? And so here we are, you know, we talk about this a lot too. Moral relativism, right? Pope Benedict called it the dictatorship of moral relativism. And what does that basically mean? You have your truth, I have my truth. And we need to respect each other's truth, right? And then chaos ensues. Why? Because we've uprooted ourselves from that paradise of truth, okay? Of peace, of beautiful order. And we've planted ourselves in the world, okay? It's said in sacred scripture, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay? Well, surely you won't die. In fact, you'll become gods yourself. And then Eve looked at it and said what? It was good for food, lust of the flesh. It was pleasing to the eye, lust of the eyes. And she would gain wisdom, pride of life. What are we seeing right now? We're seeing a world where it's going crazy because everybody has their own truth. Right? But at the same time, what we're seeing is an awakening to the spiritual life, to the supernatural life. You know, it said in Gaudium et Spes, the writings of Vatican Council, it said, the whole of man's history has been the story. And get this militaristic language in the Vatican documents, right? The whole of man's history has been the story of dour combat with the powers of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history until the last day, finding himself in the midst of the battlefield. Man has to struggle to do what is right, and it is at great cost to himself, and aided by God's grace that he succeeds in achieving his own inner integrity. So Lent, right? Like we saw in the gospel, is he went away, right, for 40 days and 40 nights. But he went into a undistracted environment, right? Okay, he got rid of the distractions so he could focus, laser focus, on his Father, on the truth. And so here comes the devil to tempt him. First of all, it says he was hungry. Devil's like, oh, I think I got him now. He's weakened. And so turn the stone into bread. Lust of the flesh. I'll give you all these kingdoms. You could be powerful in and of yourselves. Lust of the eyes. And you, I will give you all the kings of the world in magnificence. All these I shall give you if you prostrate yourself and worship me. My brothers and sisters, we're actually seeing people do this. Literally. I mean, some have come to understand, call it witchcraft, Satanism, whatever it is, but they come to understand that they get a quick fix of power and prestige, okay, by bending a knee to Satan rather than God. But we're called to live in truth. Look what, with each temptation the devil gives our Lord, look what our Lord does. He goes right to Scripture, to the truth. One does not live on bread alone. He quotes from Christ's Scripture. He will command his angels concerning him. You shall not, and that's the one where Satan goes, okay, if you're going to go to Scripture, let me go to Scripture. You know, that's that twisting Scripture to fit one's own narrative. We're seeing that at spades in the political world right now. We have to be careful. We go to Scripture, but we need to go to trusted sources that help us to interpret Scripture too. Okay? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, and so on. You know, I recall myself where, the worldliness and everything. Yeah, you're growing up. You're a teenager. I came from a very religious family, and it was great. And like I said, the sisters and everything. But the world is strong, right? So high school and college, and what am I doing during that time? You know, I have blonde hair, so I can do this. Yeah. I was living a superficial life. You know, oh, whatever. You know, I don't want to think about the details. I don't want to go too deep. So you just kind of party, you know. Right? You just go through the motions of life. But for some reason, by the grace of God, it's like God took me and wrestled me to the ground and put me in a stranglehold and said, stop. Think. Think about the truth. Now, I think it happens to a lot of people, 23 years old. That's when it happened to me. Because why? You're high school, you're college, you know. I don't have to think about the details. Unfortunately, a lot of people are doing this their whole life, you know. They get kind of stuck in that superficial world where they're doing what? Where they're just doing their thing and looking at headlines. Oh, well, I guess we believe there's 83 genders now. Because the headlines tell us so, right? Because we're not stopping and thinking. We're not connecting with God and His truth. Because, you know, I'm busy. See, that's what Lent is all about. That's what Jesus modeled for us. Stop. Get in the wilderness. Get in that place. And for me, actually, my bedroom was downstairs in my parents' house. But you know what? I just kind of tore away from, you know, the parties and the, you know, whatever, the superficial living. And I thought, I stopped and just reflected for a while, meditated, call it what you want. And then all of a sudden, bam, there is a God. Well, I guess there's consequences to that. Yeah, He created me out of love. You know, all these thoughts entered in. And all of a sudden, my heart started pounding, boom, boom. You do love me. You do have a plan for my life. And all of a sudden, I emerged from my parents' basement at 23 years old and said, I think I want to go into seminary. They're like, what? I mean, I've never told them that before. But here I am. After my duties today, I'm going to go and have mass with the sisters who are part of my formation. God is so good. But we can't get to that place unless we stop and connect to the truth. We can't live our lives, my brothers and sisters, on that superficial level and not expect to be devoured by the devil. Love of the world, what does that mean? It means he's the prince of the world. Every influencer out there, media, TV, universities, Hollywood, they're owned by the prince of the world. Trying to tell us, oh yeah, I can marry, you know, whoever I want or whatever I want. Kill the babies. Oh, well, it's my busy life. The headlines tell me I can kill babies, so. I keep doing that. I'm sorry for blondes out there. But I can do it because I'm a blonde, see. I'm taking fun of myself. But I'm just saying it's that superficial life. So, make sure you make this Lent matter. And I tell people too, and I'll end with this, you know, make that wilderness spot in your home. Yes, it's great if you can come to the church and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Please try to do that. By the way, Mary Lou is here most days from like 3 in the morning until, you know, like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So that's when the church is open. And if that all fails, ring my doorbell and I got a key and you can drop it off in my car on your way out. But you could do that. But make that wilderness space in your home. I always tell people, you know, you make great man caves. Make a God cave. I picture it in most people's house. It could be, you know, for parents, make it at the corner of your bedroom. And then, you know, during the evening or whatever, like you might say to your spouse, honey, I'm going to go to the Quick Trip and pick up some milk. Can you watch the kids? Right? Honey, I'm going to the God cave. I'll be back in 20 minutes or a half hour. We need to stop. We need to think. We need to connect. We need to understand that without these lights, the world is left to become a cold and dark place. Make this Lent matter. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.